everyone, and welcome to Red, Blue, and Pigskin. We are here once again. The end of the season has come, so we'll talk about that and get ready to transition from the college game to the pro game. I'm here with Joey once again.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to see who we can jinx this week.
We've been pretty consistent, haven't we?
We were. You especially did a great number on the Steelers and Roethlisberger. That was ugly. But we'll start out with the college game. For those who read the article, you'll notice I haven't posted anything since the season ended for two reasons. One, I'd figured we'd kind of talk about it here, and two, I was just so flippin' depressed over that season.
It was rough, wasn't it?
It was. Even the Utes' final game of the year, they should have killed Colorado, but instead they needed probably one of the biggest, and I don't know if it was a coaching blunder or just a mental blunder on the kicker's part, but the biggest blunder of the year to kick to Reggie Dunn. It was a rough season, so hopefully we'll talk about what is happening as far as next year.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit about the Cougars as they get ready for their bowl game against San Diego State, and a couple quick college topics, and then we'll move on to the pro game because, you know, we've got 3 weeks of regular season left, and then we get on to the playoffs. It's going to be an exciting 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be there's some good football coming up.
And there's also been a lot of news the last few weeks that is kind of worthy of talking about. So we'll do that. But first, let's rip the Band-Aid off and talk about the brutality that was the Utes this year. Just,
you know, I was having this conversation with my wife last night where she says, "So why are the Utes so bad this year?" I'm like, "Well, you know," I was trying to explain to her how, you know, changing conferences and what that has really meant for us, because we are not staffed up to the level of your regular Pac-12
team. We really are
team.
Not.
I was always hoping that we would still make a good showing of it, and I think we did all right. I would have loved to have seen, you know, three more wins each season at least, and just to show them, you know what? Yeah, we always belonged here, even when we weren't staffing at your level. It's clear that there's a gap. But, you know, I think Jordan Wynn, you know, we really got hurt by that.
You're right. It kind of goes back to what Urban always said when he was here. You know, the ones of Utah would match up with any ones in the country. The twos and threes are where you start to get into trouble.
Yeah.
And you got to remember this upcoming recruiting class that, you know, Utah coaches now have a lot of free time to focus on will only be the second class since they've been a member of the Pac-12 and only the third class since it was announced. So a lot of their upperclassmen are all Mountain West players. Some of them were good players,
right,
but they're
still
Mountain West players. And, you know, I'll give Whittingham credit. He's always, from day one, tried to temper expectations, saying it's going to be a process.
Yeah.
I was one of those who I thought, you know what? I don't know that Utah could go in and compete for the conference championship right away, but I always thought, you know, we'd be sitting around 9-ish wins both years.
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't happen. There's the Jordan Wynn thing, which to me, I like Whittingham, but there's two issues I really, really have with Whittingham in his tenure as our coach.
Okay.
One is he neglected the quarterback position.
Bring your microphone a little closer. There you go. That's good.
He neglected the quarterback position as far as the transition after Brian Johnson.
Okay.
You know, if you remember, right, going into the season after Brian's senior year, our choices were Corbin Laux, who couldn't throw a ball to save a lick. A junior college transfer, Terrence Kane, or a true freshman, Jordan Wynn, you know, not really what you want. I'm a firm believer that the way you should recruit quarterbacks is you should always have a junior coming in to take over your senior spot.
Okay.
Maybe a sophomore, but you never want to go younger than that.
So you're not a Johnny Manziel kind of guy.
I'm not. I'm really not. In fact, we'll talk about him a little bit later and why he should not have won the Heisman. This is going to hurt, but BYU for the longest time did it right.
Yeah. They really did.
Their senior would go out, their junior would come in. Their senior would go out, their junior would come in. They never missed a beat. That's why they were quarterback you for the longest time.
Yeah.
Utah totally neglected that. And then, to make matters worse, Witt didn't really learn from it. We had the whole, you know, Terrence Kane was going to be a two-year guy because he was a JUCO transfer. And Wynn had that great second half of his freshman year, and all of a sudden he got the reins handed to him. And, you know, granted, you didn't know that he was going to go through the injury problems, but with Terrence Kane getting ready to leave, we should have been focusing on quarterbacks then, and instead we didn't have anything. So instead we were left with scrambling to get a Division III quarterback as our backup. And it's only really been in the last 2 years, I think, that Whittingham has realized, you know, these quarterbacks are kind of important. The other big problem that I have an issue with is his hiring practices. Our coaching staff was brutal this year. We were not...
Too many former players or what?
Too many... Well, for one, I can say... I don't know that I want to say former players, but I do know for sure we had too many lawyers on the team.
Okay.
Sharif Shah was hired as our defensive backs coach this past offseason. You know, in Witt's defense, the defensive backs are probably the most important player on the field because he loves to throw them out man-on-man on an island. And we've done well for the last few years with those. But for some reason, he decided to move our cornerbacks coach to coach our running backs and hire a full-time lawyer, part-time sideline reporter, no coaching experience, and hasn't played in about a decade to become our cornerbacks coach. Huh? What?
Yeah.
I still don't get it. Just a terrible hire.
Looking too hard for value in the wrong places or something? Who knows?
You know, I think... I almost kind of wonder if Witt's a yes-man type of guy.
You think he's a B? You've heard the adage about A's, B's, and C's, right?
No, what is it?
So there are three types of people in the world. There's A's, and these are your prime movers, your number one kind of guy, the guy everyone wants on his team. And then you have your Bs, and they're like, yeah, they're serviceable, they do all right, but they don't really ever stand out on their own. And then there's the Cs, who are kind of like, yeah, well, we have to have some people, warm bodies filling the seat kind of thing.
Right.
And the saying is that Bs only want to hire Cs, whereas As always want to hire As, because they want to be surrounded by excellence.
You know, I'm actually starting... I kind of wonder about that a little bit. You know, I think I said in our very first podcast this year that I think Brian Johnson was going to be the great offensive coordinator hire in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this year just wasn't a great idea. You know, he developed well. He there was a lot of progress, especially considering everything he had to go through this year. You know, the whole quarterback situation, everything else, the injuries, the beat up offensive line. He developed quite nicely towards the end of the year, but it's what you're going to get when you hire a 24-year-old former quarterback, a guy who was just throwing passes to players on the team 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was a brutal season. We suffered early injuries, just never quite hit our sink. Our upperclassmen were largely disappointing this year.
Yeah.
Just no upperclassmen leadership whatsoever. And it looked like it on the field. We were completely undisciplined, just no leadership whatsoever. And it was brutal. And, you know, the instant reaction among any fan base when your team has such a lousy season is, you know, what changes need to be made.
Right, sure.
And there's even a small portion of people out there who were saying that Witt had to go this year.
Okay.
I don't believe that. I think that Witt has done enough to earn a mulligan, and he just used it.
Okay.
As far as what he should do, I don't want to say his seat should be warm next year, but he needs to know that his seat isn't cold.
Okay.
You know? He needs to know that, hey, things have got to change.
He doesn't have the position locked up the way Bronco seems to down south.
Right. And here's the other thing in this instance. The other thing that I think cannot be accepted is if Brian Johnson fails again, if it turns out that he's just not the guy for this offense, I don't think you can give Witt the benefit to let Brian Johnson go to save his job. And the reason is because the reason we had to get Brian Johnson was Whittingham's just brutal handling of the offensive coordinator position.
Okay.
But that said, I'm not going to say, you know, Witt should be gone next year. So coming off of this brutal season, I want to ask you, what should our expectations be for 2013, third year in the Pac-12, coming off of 7-5 and 5-7. So we're 12-12 in the last 2 years. Think in mind, we will have Travis Wilson, who has now gotten some reps, will be entering his sophomore year.
But he still
year.
Doesn't have a road win.
Still does not. No, he does have one road win.
Oh, he
win.
Does. Was that with Colorado?
Colorado
on the road?
Was on the road.
Okay, I thought that was at home.
He doesn't have a win against a winning team outside of. Nope, he doesn't have a win outside of. He doesn't have a win against a winning team. In fact, Utah's only victories against winning teams in the last 2 years are two against BYU and one against Georgia Tech.
Wow.
So we're losing. Let's go over what we're losing a little bit. Just
losing
to kind of
White.
Set this. We're losing White, but York is coming in. They're loading up on the running back, it looks like. We're losing Devontae Christopher. See you. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you. We're the yeah. Get out of here. We're losing Luke Matthews. I'm not going to say we're losing three interior offensive linemen.
Okay.
Defensively, we're losing the man, yep. Star Lotu Lele, who I watched a video. You know, I have to admit that I check out Cougar Board every morning because I think it's the best comedy site out there.
Okay.
it's funny to watch, to read the BYU fans on that site. Everyone has an in with the program, so everybody knows what's going on.
Gotcha.
Which is great for, you know, realignments and stuff. But somebody made the comment of, why is Lotu Lele still being projected in the top five? And he got lit up by the BYU fans on the board. Not by the Utah fans. He got lit up by the BYU
Good.
Fans.
Some people who actually know football that cheer for BYU.
And somebody posted the video of Star against USC. All of his plays against USC. And it's about 8 minutes. And oh my heck, if you want to watch just great defensive tackle, unsung football, watching that game was amazing.
I felt like there were a couple times in that game that he over-pursued his position. And it hurt us.
There were a lot of times where they would... And watching the game initially, I had the same thought, but watching this, where he was the main focus, what USC started to do was they would bring in a chip from the side, the side to kind of push him out of the way, and then cut the run away from him, so it looked like it, but he was being forced.
Okay. All right.
But, I mean, we all remember the start of that game where he caused those fumbles and was just completely and totally dominant. But watching this video of Star going against Khalid Holmes, who is going to be one of, you know, a first round offensive lineman, just ate his lunch. There were so many plays where Khalid Jones went up to engage, and the second he went to engage, he was already just scrambling backwards.
Nice. Yeah, I do remember that. I'll have to watch the video. So maybe you can post a link to it when you post up your article.
I will.
Because looking back on it, like as I was watching the game, there were a couple times I felt like, boy, he is really getting a lot further down inside than he should be in that defensive stance that they were all in.
Yeah.
But I don't have the advantage of having gone back and watched it a second time.
There were times he did over-pursue, but it's just... To watch, and the thing that I found amazing, it wasn't necessarily the plays where he was getting pressure, but to watch him just take Khalid Holmes, and then they would eventually send a second and sometimes a third guy. And he's just messing, just throwing these guys around, not moving back. He's not moving forwards, but he's not moving backwards, which when you're taking on two or three guys is the important thing.
Yes.
And he was just a beast this year, and it really hurts that the rest of our defense just couldn't do it.
Aren't we losing Mo?
We're losing Dave Kruger.
Okay. Wasn't that Mo? What was
Mo Lee?
Yeah,
Mo Lee. We're losing Mo Lee in the backfield. In fact, we're losing three of our backfield. Mo Lee, Ryan Lacy.
Blecken?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember the third defensive back we're losing. So we're going to have to rebuild the secondary once again. I'm hoping we move Blecken up from safety to linebacker. You know, we're losing Star and Dave in the middle.
Yeah.
Tenny Palapoy, who at the end of the season I thought was making some good plays.
Okay.
We got Dave, we'll be back. We got Joe Kruger coming back.
Yeah.
The guy who probably had the best final 3 weeks of the season for Utah, Eric Rowe.
Okay.
Who, against Arizona, if it wasn't for Eric Rowe, we would have lost like 400 to whatever we... There were so many times where he was just making the game the score-saving tackle.
Nice.
So that's what we've got, losing and coming back. So what should Utah fans expect from 2013?
Well, until I see a little bit more maturity out of Travis Wilson, and I don't want to knock on the guy. He you know, he answered the bell. He overexceeded expectations, I think. But I don't want to allow that to raise the bar next year until I've actually seen some performance out of him. I'm going to say 6-6.
Okay. Because 7-5, just it sounds better to have a winning record. That's kind of where my expectation is going to be. I'm of the opinion that I think, honestly, anything less than 6-6, and I think Chris Hill needs to seriously think about whether Witt's the guy.
Okay.
6-6, 7-5, 8, okay, we give you another year. 8 and better, all right, you've weathered
the storm.
You've
wiped out last year.
You've wiped out. That's kind of where my expectations sit for next season. So
I think Peter would like to join us for the NFL section tonight.
Yes. So
we're not done with college yet.
So that's where I sit as far as my comfort level for next year, what I'm expecting out of this team, what I think Witt has to prove.
Okay.
And kind of, I agree with you on the whole Travis Wilson thing is, I don't know that he's proven. There's a lot of people out there who want to say, all right, we've got our guy for the next 3 years. I don't know that we do.
I don't. Yeah. I admire what he did with what he had. I just worry that there were some times that I thought he needed to step up just a little bit more, and he never quite got there.
See, I'm with you. He had some good games. Arizona was a good game for him.
Yeah.
But Colorado was an absolutely dreadful performance by him. The Washington game was dreadful.
Yes, the Washington game was pretty bad. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
I mean, really, there was only one, maybe two performances by him that I was like, you know what? That was a really good performance by him. He grew a little bit. He was starting to make reads. You could see him looking and everything else. He still is struggling with the zone read option, I noticed. But I just really hope that the coaching staff does not make the Jordan Wynn mistake of, you're our starter. Congratulations.
For the next 3 years.
So make him earn it.
Yeah.
Because we have a couple highly touted quarterback recruits coming in again next year. We don't know because obviously it's all verbal commitments right now.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll find out. But that's where Utah's season ended with a thank goodness for Reggie Dunn. Why did you kick to him? It's gonna be sad to see them gone. So I'm gonna ask you, what was your best moment of the season?
Watching Travis Wilson blow up a defensive lineman on a running play.
That was amazing. To me, my favorite moment of the season was the second half kickoff against Washington State.
Okay.
Because, you know, we all knew Reggie Dunn had the speed to return it to the house, but he hadn't quite been able to pull it off. And he did it against Cal, and it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, it's like, oh, nobody ever does it a second time. And he did it a second time. But it was still so unexpected.
Yeah.
For the Washington State, everyone in those stands expected him to take it to the house if he got it. And then he did. Just pure euphoria.
Wish I could have been there for that.
Just because everyone expected it, and he does it.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice payoff.
Nice payoff. I kind of wish I would have been in Boulder for the back-to-back kickoff returns, though, to cap the year, because that was amazing. I think my favorite game of the year, though, was the USC game.
I have to agree. I mean, it didn't end the way we would have liked necessarily, but, you know, it was a very well played. I'll be honest with you. The frustrating part of that game was how much the refs decided they wanted to be on camera.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for that, that becomes one of the truly great games.
I would agree. Unfortunately, Pac-12 has terrible refs, but that game, the atmosphere going into that game was unbelievable. The aura, the mystique of the men of Troy mm-hmm. coming to Rice-Eccles. You could feel it in the air. It was magical in the air. And when we got out to the start, we did. Even though we struggled and we're just, by the end of the game, completely outclassed. We lost to a team who was just better to us, better than us. We weren't terrible in that game. They were better. But the magic in that air, just being there, sitting there knowing.
It was pretty cool.
This is history. This is USC's first trip to Rice-Eccles Stadium since they became USC. You know, the last time they came to Salt Lake was before they won any of their national championships, before college football became what
it was. It was like 60 years ago, wasn't it?
It was like 90 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, this was
awesome.
It was just, and it was awesome. That was perfect. It was awesome, and it felt that way the whole game. And even though we lost, I remember thinking, I will remember being here.
Yeah.
And to me, it really helped because it was my son's first live game. I had my son and my daughter there.
Yeah, okay.
And so I got that little moment there as well. It was just amazing. But alas, no more Utah football. There are two local games still to be played.
Okay.
One of them will probably be over by the time this gets posted, which is Utah State against...
Utah State wins.
Toledo against in the famous Idaho Potato
Bowl. There's my jinx
Bowl.
For the week.
Yeah, Utah State should win. I think it's cool that Gary Anderson... stayed.
Yeah.
But then again, let's be honest, the jobs that I think it's also kind of a smart move. The jobs they were getting offered were Cal, who isn't necessarily financially invested in their football team, uh-huh. and Colorado, who is a dumpster fire. So I think it's smart. Stay. He's got Chucky Keaton. He's got a lot of great players coming back. Prove it wasn't a fluke. He'll get his choice of jobs next year. And he will leave next year, I think.
Okay.
And then the other one is the BYU, see, I really want Utah to be in a bowl game.
Well, come on. 9 out of the past 10 years. It's habit at this point.
BYU versus San Diego State in the San Diego City Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego. It's a home game for the Aztecs, but I'll bet that there will be more Cougar fans there.
Yeah, probably.
There's some question over who's going to be the starting quarterback. Will it be Riley or Lark? We know Bronco's going to go with Riley.
Yeah.
It's honestly, of their options coming into the bowl game, it's the best option they could have gotten for a opponent. San Diego State is good, but they play into BYU's strengths. They're a running team, and BYU has a good running defense. And I honestly just see BYU winning this. Riley will make it closer than it should have been.
Okay.
But I don't think that BYU will have much problem with San Diego State.
Okay. I actually haven't had a chance to see San Diego State play at all this year, so I didn't really have an opinion on that one.
And then, you know, that'll be it for...
College rides off into the sunset.
College will ride off into the sunset. There is kind of one thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you heard about it, but... have you heard about the whole Louisiana Tech bowl situation?
You mentioned it to me. You talked to me about it a little bit.
So Louisiana Tech has garnered a little bit of national sympathy because they're not going to a bowl game even though they're 9-3. And here's why I don't feel bad for them whatsoever. So the story goes, when Northern Illinois won the MAC championship, it was good enough for them to make the top 16 of the BCS. And then the rule is, if a conference champion from a non-automatic qualifying conference is ranked in the top 16, and the conference champion from an automatic qualifying conference is ranked lower than them, then the non-AQ gets an automatic bid to a BCS bowl game.
Right.
So we'll set the stage. Louisiana Tech is 9-3 going into championship weekend. Their season is done. Northern Illinois is playing Kent State. Kent State was ranked 17 at the time. Northern Illinois is ranked 21. That same night, there is number 15 Nebraska playing unranked Wisconsin.
Okay.
For the Big Ten championship. Well, Northern Illinois surprised Kent State and won. And so, if it was Kent State, it's an obvious bet that they were going to move up that one spot.
Right.
With Northern Illinois, there was still some question mark. So, we enter into Saturday morning. Saturday morning comes along. We know Northern Illinois won. There's a chance they could move up. Louisiana Tech gets a call from, I want to say it was the, I can't remember which bowl. Oh, they got a call from the Independence Bowl on Saturday morning saying, we want you to come play for us.
Okay.
Louisiana Tech turned it down. Well, no.
They asked for more time.
They asked for more time. And the Independence Bowl said, no, we need to know, because if not, we want to go secure our best second spot. Well, Louisiana Tech turned them down. Well, the rest of that weekend went, Nebraska absolutely got thumped, so Wisconsin won. There was a couple other losses, and on Sunday when the BCS results were released, Northern Illinois had snuck into the top 16.
Yeah.
They got a BCS by Oklahoma, who would have gotten the BCS bid instead, got knocked down, and all of a sudden the Big 12 is able to fill all of their bowl spots. If Oklahoma had been in the BCS, there was one open spot, and Louisiana Tech was the favorite for it.
Okay.
So Louisiana Tech is sitting at 9-3, not going to a bowl game, and all of a sudden everyone feels bad for Louisiana Tech. I don't. I think they took a gamble. They placed their money on it, and they lost.
Yeah.
You had to know there was a good chance you weren't that it was going to happen. Northern Illinois just got done beating Kent State, who was ranked 16 at the time. So you know they're going to move up. They're obviously going to be ahead of 16, or against. They're obviously going to be ahead of Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska got thumped like 70-something, so you knew they were going to be ahead of them.
That was actually a good game, by the way. I'm a Nebraska fan, but that was a good game. It was very well played.
Right. Yeah, it kind of was.
It was one of the few games I actually watched that weekend. But
Number 16, UCLA, had lost to Stanford already, so you knew they were going to drop down.
You knew.
So now you're looking at Louisiana Tech, who's only a couple spots away. And on Saturday, you had number 6 playing number 18. So there's another spot to drop.
Right.
So if you're Louisiana Tech, you had to look at the numbers and say, at worst, they're going to be one spot away. Do you really want to risk it? And Louisiana Tech did, and they got left
out. They lost, yeah.
And you know what? I don't feel bad for them whatsoever. Either. You know, it's...
I might be more upset about it if I'd gone to Louisiana Tech.
Like Karl Malone did, and who was quite upset over it.
You know, from the purely neutral standpoint, I'm like, yeah, well, you didn't take the bird in the hand.
Right.
You tried to go for the two in the bush.
And you ended up with nothing.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to talk about in college football for right now is we all know that this terrible, terrible, terrible system of the BCS is going away.
Okay.
We get the playoffs in 2 years. Now, I'll be the first to say the playoffs aren't going to be perfect because, for one, they only are going 4 teams. But if the playoffs started this year, we would probably end up with, for sure, we'd have Notre Dame is your 1 seed, mm-hmm. and Alabama is your 2 seed. Who should the 3rd and 4th seeds be? And here's who I'm going to give you. We'll give you Pac-12 champion Stanford.
Okay.
Who beat Oregon and beat UCLA twice, but lost to unranked Washington. got scared by San Jose in the first week of the year.
Okay.
Okay. So the other option we have.
Okay, remind. Okay, so you said.
So the first option we have is Stanford.
Stanford.
The other option is Oregon. Who was the unstoppable machine except for against Stanford. Kansas State.
Okay.
Who lost only one game all season. Florida. Mm. SEC team.
Yep, they won that Florida State game.
They won the Florida State game. I believe they were only a one loss. Georgia, who had two losses, one of them being against Alabama in the SEC championship, and the other coming to South Carolina.
Okay, so let me... So Stanford, Oregon.
Florida.
Florida.
No, Georgia.
Between the two.
Kansas State. Right. Who are your third and fourth seeds?
I'm going to say Stanford is the third seed.
Okay.
I realize that they had some troubles that you wouldn't normally expect a top-tier team to have. You kind of thought that they should win some of those going away or should have performed a little bit better than they did. But when the pressure was really on, those guys pulled it together and really showed up. And I'm going to say... Man, Oregon or Kansas State? Because I know Oregon would probably get it if it were up to the press.
Right.
But I think I enjoyed more what Kansas State did with what they had. I mean, Oregon is kind of an established football power.
Right.
Kansas State came out of nowhere. That was great. They, in my opinion, Kansas State absolutely outplayed any expectation a Kansas State fan should have ever had for their football program.
See, and this exact discussion is why I think the fear that the regular season in college football is going to get diminished is completely unfounded. Because you're still going to have all these teams fighting for those last couple spots. You know, sure. I come down to it. To me, I think, hands down, Oregon was the best team all year.
Okay.
I think they were just the best team all year. But I agree, Stanford's the number three spot. And then when I look at the final spot, Oregon, Kansas State, Florida, Georgia, I don't like to punish Georgia for losing the SEC championship game.
Okay.
I think Florida probably faced the toughest schedule all year. For me, that's where I just, Oregon, Florida, Georgia. Even Kansas State, who had a tough schedule, I probably would go Oregon as my choice. Okay. I just think they were the best team all year.
And I think Oregon would be okay. I would like to see Kansas State go just because it's kind of an unexpected pick, right?
Right.
I always like to I like it when they throw somebody in there. It's not like, yeah, okay, USC and Ohio State and Florida State again, you know. Alabama and Auburn are in it again kind of thing.
Now, if it's the media, I can tell you what would have happened.
Okay.
It would have been Oregon and an SEC team. And because the media
probably
is...
Probably Florida.
They would have went Florida over Georgia because Georgia just got done losing.
Right.
You know? So I know that would have been their top four.
Yeah.
But either way, it would have been a great couple of games between those four
certainly.
Teams.
Yeah.
So, college football is coming to an end. We've got 35 bowl games, of which one matters... which is the championship game. The other 34 will probably have some good games. We'll probably have our fair share of dogs, but, you know, we're coming down to the end and college football is going away for a while. You know, the focus in college football is going to turn to stalking 18-year-old boys. But fear not, because while college may be going away, we are going to get to the best part of the NFL, which is the end of the regular season. It's heating up, and we're going to have a great, I think, final few weeks. All right, so as we say goodbye to the college season, we get ready for the finale of the NFL season. And As such, we'd like to welcome in Pete to join us for some NFL talk.
TrekWest 5 guest host, Pete.
Oh, hey, how's everybody doing?
Switching it up there. I like what you did.
Your voice is still silky smooth from coughing, Pete.
Tar and nicotine. No? No, just the old sickness, you know, massive amounts of coughing. This will turn you into a man with hair on your chest.
There's other things I can think of too, but that's a different podcast. So we now have 3 weeks left in the NFL, working down on the playoff chase. Last weekend there was actually quite a bit of both solidifying in the playoff chase and a whole lot of still just up for grabs.
Okay, can I address something before we go too far?
Sure.
What bugs me the most is right around week three when we start having the playoff conversation with sports analysts.
Right.
Because, I mean, there were the Saints specifically.
Yes.
They're like, oh yeah, no way these guys make the playoffs. And right enough, they probably aren't at this point. I'm pretty sure they're out of the race. Maybe there's a, you know, the sliver of a chance that it might happen. But still, can we wait until half of the year is over before we start discussing whether or not the playoffs? And I'm not even going for the joke with the...
You mean you don't like hearing about only X numbers of teams have started 0-4 and made the playoffs, and X number of teams have... You don't
yes,
like those stats?
It gets annoying. It
really does.
I would rather focus on the football that's actually happening as opposed to football that might happen. Sorry, I just had to get that off of my chest.
You know, on that same
playoffs?
Note,
playoffs?
Don't talk about playoffs. I don't know if we can win a game. We couldn't do
diddly-poo.
You know,
on that note, the one thing that bothered me most about the Fell Mary with the replacement refs is that people started that same night talking about, this could cost Green Bay a chance at the playoffs. This could cost them a playoff spot. You know what else could cost them a playoff spot?
Being a bad team.
Being a bad team. Losing more games the rest of the year. Giving up 8 sacks in the first half of that game. You know, it's like there's still plenty of time to control your own destiny at that point. It's way too early. I'm with you. Can we just stop any mention of the playoffs until week 9?
Yeah.
The answer to your question is no. That's never going to happen.
Okay, sorry. I had interrupted you there.
No.
I had to get that off my chest. So.
I completely agree with you.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the playoff picture as it stands now.
Okay.
Can you pull that?
I've got it up right here.
Okay. So if I'm not mistaken, we know that New England has clinched the NFC East again.
Yes.
That the... AFC East.
AFC East.
The AFC North is still...
They might have the NFC East as well.
They very well might.
They're that good. I'm just
saying. And the NFC East is that bad.
Yes.
AFC North is still up in the air.
It's still up in the air. I do not believe... Has anyone from that division even clinched a playoff spot?
No.
Okay. The AFC West is obviously Manning's to lose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they've clinched the division.
Oh, they have officially clinched.
Yeah.
Okay. And the AFC South is a battle between the
Texans,
most likely
Colts.
Overrated Houston Texans, and the see Peyton Manning really wasn't anything special Indianapolis Colts.
I hate
Colts.
You so bad. You're never going to let go of that bone, are you?
No.
Wait, don't the Bengals have a stranglehold on the East?
No.
Or sorry,
no.
The North?
The North, I believe, is Baltimore leading.
Yes.
Cincy and Pittsburgh tied with a game coming up next week.
Well, no. So Cincy has a one-game lead right now because they played Thursday night.
Right. So they have the half a game lead.
I don't think – maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but I don't think Pittsburgh is going to do it. I think sorry. You go. This is your podcast.
No, go for it.
No. You take this where you want it to go. I will comment along the way.
I just want this to be a football conversation. So you were saying about Pittsburgh. Because I want to bring this up because if you remember right, last podcast, which I nicknamed the Jinx Cast, Joey and I had this conversation where I said Baltimore was going to take the division. He, of course, said Pittsburgh was going to take the division.
I said Ben Roethlisberger is going to look great the rest of the year.
Basically said, you know, I trust Ben Roethlisberger.
To be fair, he does. He looks great on the sidelines.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah, he's not ugly.
So what were your thoughts on Pittsburgh and that division?
I just don't think Pittsburgh's going to do it. I'm surprised, you know, around the the fact that the Ravens have done this well. I don't think much of their offense.
And you think even less of it now, right?
Well, their defense is what's held them for a decade.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, even the year they won the Super Bowl. How long ago was that?
2002?
I was right at the beginning. Yeah.
No, it was 2000. It was in between the Rams two
Super Bowls.
Yeah,
it was at the beginning. I just, and when Ray Lewis went down and Ed Reed was having problems, I was like, no way in heck that they can manage to cobble this together. And they've like done fairly decent.
I think Baltimore is the only team I've ever looked at and simultaneously thought, wow, these guys are a whole lot better than I thought. And wow, these guys are a whole lot worse than I thought they should be at this point. Because I agree with you. When Ray Lewis went down and all that, I was like, they're done.
I thought Ray Lewis was done.
Oh,
I
agree.
I thought, okay, this is it. The man is not going to be able to come back to football at this point. I was like, this is kind of his last year before he got hurt.
Right.
But
I was the same way. When he went down and they started having all the injuries, I was like, the defense isn't going to hold up. Which they haven't. And then they started struggling on offense. I'm like, it's like, there's no way you can put all of your trust into Joe Flacco. And they've done an amazing job. Winning games, they're still at the top of the division. What's the record?
It is 9-4.
Okay, 9-4. I'm surprised that they're 9-4. I would have expected more loss. But at the same time, I watch them and I keep thinking, there's a problem on that defense. They're just not making the stops that they have to. The offense is a mess, and just you don't trust it. You would not trust it when the game is on the line.
Agreed.
But yet, I still think they're going to take the division.
And I think you're wrong. I don't think they're going to take the division, and I think it's going to be because of the move they just made. I don't know if you heard about this, Pete, but the Ravens fired Cam Cameron, offensive coordinator.
I did hear about that.
And gave control of the offense to Jim Caldwell, former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who has never been a professional offensive coordinator, never been a professional play caller. Let's be honest.
He was also never a professional head coach either.
Yeah, no, I would give you that. When he was head coach in Indianapolis, I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind that it was between Tom Moore and
Peyton
Manning who was calling the plays in those games.
And running the team.
Yeah.
And they've turned over the offense to Caldwell. And I don't think he rallies that team around him for the rest of the year.
He reminded me much like the Cowboys coach.
Garrett?
Wade Phillips.
Oh, okay.
Deer in the headlights look.
Very much
all
so.
The time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just their personality or if that is what happened to them when they got put in, you know, the big position, the big spotlight.
They didn't have big boy pants.
Constantly, there's just sort of like this dumb look on their face like, It did not seem like they had a plan, like they were scheming. You look at people like Sean Payton.
Yes.
That man is scheming. You look at people like the coach of the Packers. Mike McCarthy. That man is scheming. Bill Belichick. The biggest schemer of them all. You know?
I think you meant scammer.
Maybe that too. But you look at those two guys that we mentioned, Wade Phillips and Jim Caldwell, and it's just sort of like,
Well, let's be fair, though. Norv Turner's had a like three-decade-long career in the NFL with that look on his face.
I don't know how in the world the man has managed to get...
He cannot possibly survive this season, can he?
I don't think he does.
You know what? I'm not going to make a comment because I've thought that many times that there's no way that X team could bring Norv Turner back, and he still does.
Well,
he still comes back.
To his defense, he has had winning seasons.
Yes.
So it's not as though he was a terrible coach. We just, none of us here, thought that he was a coach that was going to take people to the Super Bowl.
Agreed. Right.
You know, and that's a fair statement. So getting back to the AFC, there are two teams that I am surprised about the most in the entire league, and they come from the AFC. Number one is the Denver Broncos, which we may want to spend some time with the Peyton Manning lover over there. I did not expect them to be able to do anything this year. And if Peyton Manning does not win Comeback Player of the Year, in my book, it'll be a travesty.
Yes.
And that's nothing against Adrian Peterson. The man is a freak. He is just physically amazing.
Unbelievable what he's done.
Yes. He's not carrying a team, though. in my opinion. That's just my opinion. My opinion only. The second team is the Indianapolis Colts. In no way did I expect them to be able to do anything. Yeah. I did not think that they had enough around Andrew Luck to be able to support his capabilities. Well, and I'm a firm believer in Andrew Luck.
What's actually been more amazing to me is not necessarily the success that Andrew Luck has had with the pieces that he's had, but the success that he's had without hardly ever looking Kobe Fleener. He doesn't look Fleener's way. So Fleener was his tight end in college, and he's now his tight end at the Colts. Mm. He hardly ever looks to the guy. Only when, like, he's really under pressure and, you know, he's going to go down. Like, when he threw that interception while he was on the ground last week, he was looking for Fleener there. But it's just been surprising to me. I thought he's going to lock in on this guy that he's been playing with in college, and no one else is going to get any time. But T.Y. Hilton, obviously Reggie Wayne is still, playing at a very high level of performance.
Fantastic.
Some of these guys – and the other thing has been just this crowd of – under Dungy, they talked about this a lot. Now, Caldwell, I think, kind of lost this mentality, but Pagano and Bruce Arians have kind of brought this back, which is this next man up philosophy. The head guy goes down, you've got to step up and be just as good as he was. Like Vic Ballard is the great example. I have never been sold on Dan Brown, their running back. And when he went down and Vic Ballard got a chance to come out, I think that was one of the best things that happened to the Colts this year, because Vic Ballard has been absolutely incredible. Not just in the running plays and the way he performs as a running back, but as blocking. And it's just being heads up and being aware and knowing what the right thing is to do in given situations. For an absolute rookie to come in with no expectations on him, he is playing lights out, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So, the Broncos couldn't possibly be happier. Oh, I guess I could be. If they'd beaten the Patriots earlier this season, and I could be comfortable going in. I think it's going to make it a very, very interesting postseason I just keep thinking – how fun would it be if the Broncos have to go through the Colts and the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl?
That's assuming they win their first playoff game, which I still don't think they do.
Well, so their first playoff game may potentially be against the Colts.
I would pick Indianapolis to win that game.
If the Colts win out and the Broncos win out, which the Broncos should. There shouldn't be any trouble there. The Colts have to face the Texans twice in the final 3 weeks, which I don't know who set that schedule up.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk about something you said.
So, okay, go for it.
The Texans. You said that they are overrated.
Yes.
Yes.
You really actually believe that?
I believe that Schaub should not be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, okay. But the rest of the team are around them.
Foster's pretty good. The offensive line, there's not much to speak of. The defense is good. They've been good for a long time.
Yeah, I would say defense is carrying them. Agreed.
Here's what the Texans have. They have one of the best wide receivers in the game. Mm-hmm. And Andre Johnson.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and say they have the best running back in the game.
Oh, really?
Arian Foster?
I like Arian Foster.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough with Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson is doing. But I'm going to give it to Arian Foster. They have...
Actually, we should give it to Arian Foster because he's doing it, not with just his skill, but he's doing it as a vegan. And I got to say, that's got to be harder than anything. I'm just throwing that out.
You don't know that Adrian Peterson's not a vegan.
Well, I don't, but no one's talked about it. So
maybe Adrian Peterson is just, that kind of guy. He doesn't want it talked about.
Whatever. Go on, Brandon.
So, Arian Foster as your running back. And here's why I give it to him. Well, no, I guess I can't because everyone's loading up the box against Adrian Peterson too. So, defense, they have an amazing defense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They really always have. And J.J. Watt, we were talking about star earlier.
Yeah.
And they're a different, the requirements are different. What is required of star is what's different from what's required of J.J. Watt. But if star could learn anything from any one player in the league right now, I want him to learn how J.J. Watt constantly puts those hands in the air.
Yeah.
Watch J.J. Watt sometimes. He goes and he pushes hard. But the second he realizes, hey, I'm not getting to this quarterback, he's in those lanes. And he is deflecting passes, causing interceptions. The guy is a freaking beast on that defense.
I loved what I read a story on ESPN about how the Patriots prepared for Watt by having, when the offense would run their drills, they'd have somebody holding up tennis rackets that had been taped white, you know, to indicate this is where J.J. Watt is going to be.
Okay.
Just expect this and start preparing for it and start throwing around it in order to succeed. And
never in my life have I seen a defensive lineman take away a portion of the passing field.
Yeah.
It's he's just good. Amazing what he's done. And back to the question, do I think they're overrated? I do, because even with all that said, I never saw them as a one-loss, now a two-loss team. I still don't know if they can hang with the best team.
Do you see, when I say that someone is overrated, it's because it generally ends up being, what type of schedule did they have? You know, did they have a cupcake schedule at the beginning? Like, the Falcons, in my opinion, are overrated.
Absolutely.
I think they have great players. I think they're doing well. But the first half of that season, from what I remember,
they didn't play anybody.
They weren't playing super hard games.
No. But, well, they were playing hard games against games not
that
super hard
have been
opponents.
Hard. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good way to put that. So I haven't followed the Texans and their schedule that much, so I don't really know if I couldn't call them overrated. I just look at that defense and I say, defense wins championships, right?
It does.
That seems like they're on the right path. But
I have to say, at least one piece to factor in here is that they have not had to play a meaningful divisional game yet this year. They have played the Jags twice and the Titans twice. They have not played the Colts. They haven't had a meaningful divisional game all year long.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. And when they went up against a legitimately difficult team, that team wiped the floor with them.
Yes.
And, you know, is there any team or coach out there that is going to get his team prepared more than Bill Belichick? I don't know.
You know, and I look at this last Monday's game and I think, okay, was that Houston being bad? Was that New England being good? Or was that Bill Belichick just saying, you know what? Screw you. We're going to show you guys up. And part of me thinks that was just him saying, you know what? I don't care. We cannot lose this game. I don't know that it was necessarily a sign that Houston isn't prepared. I just think it was Bill Belichick kind of wanting to hog the spotlight for his team. I don't know. It's interesting. My pick for the AFC representative of the Super Bowl is still between Houston and New England. I still think Houston's better than New England, but I just don't know if Houston can win it.
Have the Broncos played Houston?
Yes, we lost to them. It was one of our three losses, right? It was so that stretch where...
At the beginning, right?
Yeah, it was right at the beginning, and Manning was not on the same page with his receivers.
No, certainly not.
It looked terrible. It was really, really painful to watch there for about 3 weeks.
I think I would give it to probably Manning or Brady again. I mean, the two of the greatest quarterbacks to be around. Yes. In NFL history at the exact same time, battling it out in the same division, you know, the same
conference.
I just don't see any other team really sneaking up and taking that, because
I still say what I said the last time we got together was that I just don't see the Broncos winning a playoff game. This reminds me so much of Manning's second year in the league when the Indianapolis Colts were on an absolute tear. We're one of the best teams in the league and went in and got totally embarrassed by the Jets in the playoffs.
Yeah, but what kind of defense did they have back then? Because they're
about
defense...
like the defense that the Broncos have this year.
No.
The Broncos defense is not that good this year.
Oh, I disagree.
I disagree.
That defense is a letdown this year.
Oh, man. I can't agree.
I disagree.
Von Miller. Doomerville's been quiet.
They've got good players.
Von Miller has been great this year.
They've got good
Derek
players.
Wolfe has done outstanding for a rookie.
But I keep looking at the Denver Broncos, and I keep seeing teams like Tampa Bay, San Diego, all these other teams who are able to jump on that defense and get leads quick. There's something wrong with that Denver defense.
Yeah, but you have to
remember. And it's going to kill them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I have to say I was pretty surprised about what happened in the Raiders game with the Broncos. I was
yeah
just surprised that that was at that any close. Point along the way close
yeah.
in any way. But the second half has seemed to be where the Broncos come out. They've made the adjustment. And they win the game.
Yeah, the question is,
the three times they haven't been able to pull that off was Houston, New England, and
Atlanta.
And Atlanta.
But even those games, they actually
teams they played.
Their second quarter or their second half was always significantly better than their first half. And so I want to know, who's the guy who's given the halftime speech, doing the halftime review and prep? Move him earlier in the week.
But see, that's my point. The fact that it's taking them till the second half, even against the bad teams, it's taking them a while to get going. I think that's going to kill them when they play a playoff
right.
opponent.
You could be right. So here's the Texans' schedule here. They won against Miami, Jacksonville, Denver, Tennessee, the New York Jets. They lost to the Packers. Had a really, really close game against the Detroit Lions, which should not have been as close as it ended up being. Titans again, and then got the poop kicked out of them by the Patriots.
Yeah.
So not a murderer's row of a schedule.
You're right, yeah. When we see it out like that, then I can see why you would say...
I just don't have any overrated. Faith in them.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to something you said. You said it wasn't going to be the Ravens to win the division. Who are you jinxing?
I'm jinxing the Bengals.
I think the Bengals take the wild card spot. That comes down. They play Pittsburgh next week, I believe. They're tied right now. The winner would have the tiebreak. Well, they've lost once to Pittsburgh already, so if they lose, they're done.
Right.
If they win, I don't know what the second tiebreakers are for it, but they'd be a game up on Pittsburgh at least. So I think Cincinnati takes it. I think Baltimore holds on to win the division.
Well, I need Baltimore to lose this weekend for sure. That's without question.
So we're saying then that the playoff teams in the AFC are going to be New England, Houston and Indianapolis, Baltimore and Cincinnati, and Denver, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go over to the good guys in the NFL and the NFC.
Woo-hoo!
So here we go with the NFC least. The Giants are still in the division lead by about a game, I'm thinking.
Yes. Yep.
Washington, who has somehow still managed to play good, even though their coach gave up on them.
Washington is is actually out of it right now.
Really? No. They're still in the running for it.
No, I mean, they're not. They're in the running, but if the season ends today,
today.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about who's in that
race. Have the three more games to play.
So, yeah.
But you don't have RG3 this weekend.
Yes. Maybe.
Things drastically change.
It does, actually, if
the season ends today.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So in that division, it's the Giants who are leading that division over the Skins, whose coach didn't believe in them, and the Cowboys, who are the Cowboys.
I say no way to the Cowboys. Clearly, well, we shouldn't even mention the Eagles. I think the Skins and Giants still have they're going to battle it out. I don't know which one of them. The Giants is sort of, as it always is with the Giants, who knows
right.
what team is going to show up and play
and which
that
coach.
Day.
I agree completely.
You know, is it the elite quarterback in Eli Manning? Or is it the crap fest?
The kid brother.
Yeah.
In Eli Manning.
It's, who knows.
So we move to the NFC North.
But I do love RG3. I talked about Andrew Luck a little bit. I don't want to suggest
RG3
is just as
good. We have a conversation about these two to have. There's a conversation to come up with them because I'm with you here. So we move to the NFC North with maybe the best team in football right now in the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And the Chicago Bears. And let's see.
Packers might get Clay Matthews back this week.
Minnesota's technically
I don't think they need him to beat the...
Oh no,
the Bears though.
So and Minnesota is technically still in the hunt in that division.
Yep.
The NFC South, which is the Atlanta Falcons and a bunch of warm bodies.
I thought Tampa was going to do better.
You know what? Tampa's been a bit of a surprise. They've played well. I think they've played about as well as you could expect of them. And have played really well, but just the talent isn't quite there for them to be better than they are.
Yeah.
And then we go to what is either, if not this year, will be for the next couple of years, the best division in football, the NFC West.
Really?
NFC West homer.
But it was a suck fest.
Who could have thought I could have said that with a straight face last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, agreed.
But let's be honest. This is a really tough division. We've got the Niners. We've got the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, who's really coming up.
Who are both at least 8 wins.
Yep.
The Rams are 6-6-1. And if the Cardinals had a quarterback, they'd be a lot better than they are too.
Yeah. Well, Niners are 9-3-1, aren't they?
Right.
Yes. Oh, okay. You would say
he said
eight.
At least 8.
Okay. Sorry. Missed the at least part.
So that's a really tough division.
It is.
I think the Rams and the Cards, as good as the Rams record is right now, I think the Rams and the Cards are big enough stinkers that I'm going to stay away from that kind of back.
I can answer this for you. I don't think, and it pains me to say this, I don't think that the Niners are as good as what people made them out to be. There is, if you look at the games that they have lost or tied, they shouldn't have.
Yes, you're
right. There's absolutely no reason that they should have. But there is something off in the way that their defense is playing. They are giving up way too much against the run, in my opinion. And on offense, they're not relying on the run nearly enough, which is what their bread and butter was last year when they were phenomenal.
You know, if Colin Kaepernick were on the bench and Alex Smith were on the field, I don't think you'd lose against the Rams.
No, I don't. I disagree.
Okay.
I don't see Colin Kaepernick being any better than what Alex Smith has been doing, or Alex Smith being better than Colin Kaepernick.
If you remember right, we actually did our last podcast right before the first Rams-Niners, the tie. And I said that even though I thought the Niners were a better team, they played into the Rams' style of defense, and that's why the Rams were going to win that game.
Yeah.
They tied, so I wasn't completely wrong. But then we decided to play almost another 5 quarters, and the Rams actually managed to pull that one off.
Here's the reason I say Alex Smith gives the Niners that win.
I like how you just cut off Brandon.
Oh, was Brandon
what
talking?
What people don't know is we just had a little break there while Joey took a call. Brandon was mid-sentence.
And now I've forgotten what that sentence was.
If only there was some kind of device we could use go back and...
It's gone.
The pitch, the wild pitch. I don't think Alex Smith throws that pitch wild.
Okay, so this is
a rookie mistake.
This is as good a time to bring it up as any.
No, actually, that is a stupid call by the offensive coordinator or whoever makes their calls. That is absolutely the worst thing to do.
It was a bad call.
Let's toss the ball out into the
air. But it was a
air.
Horrible pitch. It was a terrible pitch.
Agreed. You have Frank Gore. Run the damn ball up the middle.
Okay.
You will get 4 yards. Almost on every play you do that, you will get 4 yards.
This is as good a time as any to bring up a conversation that I've been wanting to have for 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
The Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith situation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think Jim Harbaugh has royally screwed the pooch with this one. First off, from two angles. One, I think he's cost the Niners home field advantage and even possibly a first round bye, let alone a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl. But two, he has royally hurt the NFL's concussion fight. And the reason I say that is one of the big issues with concussions is the NFL player mentality of, it's not a big deal, I got to go out there, don't let them know
it's
I'm
my
hurt.
Job, I don't want to lose my job. Yeah.
If your starting quarterback, who took you to the NFC Championship game, and it was not his fault you did not win that game last year.
It is not.
Had you sitting with only 2 losses this season, in prime position to make a run for the home field advantage, or at the very least the first round bye.
Amen.
And just got off of a game where he threw 18 completions out of 19 attempts.
Preach it, brother.
And he loses his job because he admitted to having a concussion. The coaches didn't find out. He went back in. He came out and said, there's something not right.
Yeah.
And then he loses his job to Colin Kaepernick, who wasn't much better, but has more potential. And I think the coaches like him more. But he didn't really show anything in those two games when Alex was still hurt to take the job away from him.
Here's what I think the 49ers want. They want a Peyton Manning or another Joe Montana to lead the offense. Their offense last year and up and, you know, for the most part even this year, is geared around not needing to have a stellar quarterback get the job done. It's not.
And that's why I think this is also going to cost them in the long run. The coaches are in love with Kaepernick's potential.
Yeah.
They love the athleticism that he can bring, these plays he can make. And they're changing their mindset. They're changing their play calls to take advantage of it. And he's just not ready. The team isn't built for that, and it's costing them.
I don't want to be unfair. Kaepernick has done a good job.
Yes.
I think he actually is a good quarterback. Yes. And I think that it's not necessarily his fault that they've lost. Although, the pitch out, it's on him. It left his hands.
I agree.
Big goof.
About 5 yards too high.
You know, Colin Kaepernick is a reasonably good quarterback to have. What they want is, you know, another RG3 to, you know, they look at his legs, which are impressive. As I recall, Alex Smith was a pretty good runner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back in his day. You know, maybe it's been too many years and he doesn't have the legs of a guy 2 years out of college.
I think he showed at the beginning of this year that he's still got some legs.
What impressed me about Alex Smith is he took that massive hit. Stupid though that was. He took that hit. He continued to lead them down the field.
And scored.
Scored a touchdown with, I think it was either blurry vision or double vision.
Yes.
How can you not put that guy back
My
in?
My point exactly. And so, but here's where I'm going with Kaepernick. You're right. It's not his fault they lost that game. It's not his fault the other game was closer than it maybe should have and they didn't look as good. But the reason why I think it's a problem is I think Harbaugh and whoever their offensive coordinator is slowly starting to change their plays a bit for Kaepernick because of what he has the potential to do. And it's not what that team is built for.
Yeah,
but yes, going back to how do you not put Alex Smith back in? This is what Kaepernick has not shown anything in these last four games that Jim Harbaugh didn't see in training camp. But yet in training camp, he made the decision to go with Smith. There's no way he saw something in those four games because while Kaepernick hasn't been bad, he hasn't been unbelievably great.
Yeah, Alex Smith still takes him to the playoffs. If Alex Smith is in.
I still think they can be a Super Bowl team with Alex Smith.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they can do that with Kaepernick because I'm not sure that I think Harbaugh changes too much. But so back to the concussion argument. So you just now have your starting quarterback. What is that going to say to positions number 20 through 53 on your roster?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who aren't just fighting for a starting position, but getting that concussion and coming out could cost them their job.
Yep.
This move has royally set back the NFL concussion fight, I think.
It certainly muddied it up for the players.
Yes.
Because one of the saddest things I read, you know, once Alex came off of, you know, the IR, you know, from, you know, being have to sit out to pass the concussion test, is he says, I didn't do anything to lose my job other than get hurt.
Right. He did it.
And that's the saddest thing that I read because he was a completely... I think technically, he still has the highest percentage
of
completions in the NFL. Thankfully, you know, percentage, you know, is a little silly sometimes. But he's a good quarterback, and I think they did something silly.
In my opinion, not only did Alex Smith not do anything to lose the job, I'm not sold that Colin Kaepernick did anything deserving to win the job either.
Yeah, I'm with
Agreed.
You.
So he's young, he's fast. That's it right there.
So, speaking of the NFC West, I think it's time Alex Smith just gets out of San Francisco next year. He's been through so much, and he has been so loyal to that organization. He's had coaches undermining him. He's had problems in the locker room. They've tried their darndest to find somebody other than him. It's time for him when his contract ends at the end of this year, I think, to just move on.
If you're Alex Smith, where do you go, though?
Arizona.
Do you think that there is a coaching staff there that is prepared to teach and handle and work with what I'm going to consider to be a mid-level quarterback. He is no Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely agree.
He is no Tom Brady. He is mid-level.
Arizona. But there are so many teams out there right now playing with terrible quarterbacks. And Cardinals are a great example. Here's the Jacksonville Jaguars are a
Cardinals
great
are a great spot for him. If they keep Kinwiz and Hunt, we know he obviously is willing to take anybody with a pulse as your quarterback.
I was telling Brandon earlier, there was a beat reporter for the Cardinals who asked Wiz and Hunt in a recent interview.
Oh, I saw that quote.
Where he's like, well, do you still have pads?
But here, they have one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the game in Larry Fitzgerald, who is dreadfully underused.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things I've heard about that, though, is the fact that he has no one to throw deep to him. Alex Smith isn't exactly known as a deep thrower.
Yeah, but at least he could throw to him instead of Skelton, who throws
around
in
him.
His area, in his direction.
Sometimes he gets it in the zip code.
And yeah, you
still in the stadium.
You may not get the deep passes to him, but you'll still get passes to him.
Well, that's just my point, though. What makes that offense so great with that receiver is the fact that they can spread out the field because they have that deep threat.
But see,
if you don't have a quarterback who can accurately throw it down the field, what's, you know, sending Fitzgerald on a long run, you only have to send one guy out there because he's not necessarily going to get the ball.
Well, not just, they actually have a couple decent other wide receivers. They have a decent wide receiver core.
Early, right?
Yeah. They have, they don't have Curly. Curly's a Jet. They have.
No, Early.
Mo?
What's his name? I forget his last name.
He's the Golden Domer. He was Michael Floyd.
Yeah, Floyd.
So they have a decent receiver. They have an amazing defense who just doesn't have an offense to help him. But look at Michael Crabtree for the Niners. Mm-hmm. He still gets his yards. He still gets a lot of plays with Alex Smith in there. I just think that would be a great place for him because he stays on the West Coast. It's a coaching staff that we know will take anybody for quarterback. But they don't necessarily need a quarterback, I don't think, to come in and
be Kurt Warner?
Right. They don't need Kurt Warner.
Sure helped when they had Kurt Warner, though.
It did help when they had.
Didn't we all enjoy that when Kurt Warner was there?
I miss Kurt.
So the NFC West has the Niners, who are kind of tailing off a bit. The Seahawks.
I want to talk about the Seahawks. I think they got a boost from the Fail Mary.
Absolutely.
I think that they are a good team. I don't think that they are a great team. And I absolutely do not see them going anywhere in the playoffs if they manage to make it. I don't. I still think that the Niners are the best in that division.
Without a doubt. I look at that team though and I'm like, how are they 8 and whatever they are now? How do they win these games? You know,
I don't know.
They shouldn't be. I'm not a Russell Wilson believer.
Really?
I think he's done well.
I think he's done good.
But I don't know that he's going to be an elite quarterback. I their running back is a great situation. They have an amazing defense, even if their defensive backs are high on Adderall.
I think Russell Wilson ends up with a better career than Philip Rivers.
No.
I would agree with that, but I can't stand Philip Rivers.
But do you consider Philip Rivers' career good, though, right now? Would you consider Philip Rivers?
If I were Philip Rivers, I'd be pretty happy with it. Man does all right for how good of an athlete he is.
I don't know that I consider Philip Rivers a good quarterback. To be
I don't. I don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't consider Russell Wilson a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady.
No.
But I definitely put him above the Philip Rivers,
Blaine Gabbert,
Chad Henne.
Wait a
crowd.
Sec. Okay.
Rivers and Henne, I put in the same category.
Okay,
yes.
That's fine. If we're gonna go with that level, fine. Yes, he's definitely better than that level of quarterback.
Let me ask you this: Alex Smith or Russell
Alex
Wilson?
Alex Smith.
It's tough. I think I'd take Alex Smith right now, but just because he's got the experience.
I'd take Russell Wilson.
See, I think this is as good as Russell Wilson is ever going to be.
I think he'll get a little bit better.
I think
but
this is,
right now, I think I'd take Alex Smith.
Okay.
2 years from now, I'd take Russell Wilson, assuming he improves along the standard incline.
I just think that Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Alex Smith, and Colin Kaepernick.
To me, Russell Wilson is Chad Pennington.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm just not a big believer in them.
I'm just grateful. Didn't the second guy get his... did he get his suspension lifted, or...
I think it's still under appeal.
Under appeal? I hope it goes down when the 49ers go back there again. We need the win, you know, in order to solidify the division.
Yeah.
Do you realize the NFC West has an opportunity to get 3 playoff teams?
Yeah.
Serious? Yes. The Rams are still in it?
The Rams are still in it, which...
They're...
I've been saying... Barely in. They're terribly in it. And you know what? They have been better than I thought. But they're still not that good. Can we be honest?
If that were to happen, I'd feel terrible for the Vikings because I think the Vikings deserve to be in the playoffs. I really do. I'm impressed with the Vikings. They managed to come out and slap the 49ers
around. The only way the Rams can do it is by winning next week against the Vikings.
Okay.
So, I mean, that would have...
Yeah. I guess we'll find out next week.
So here we go for the playoff picture right now. We've got...
Did we want to talk about any of the other the NFC North at all, or do we want to talk about them?
Well, let's kind of do that. So
I think Chicago's crap.
Oh, Chicago's absolutely a joke.
A terrible quarterback.
So the only NFC team that's locked up right now is the Falcons.
The Falcons are the only ones who's locked up. You know what? On to Cutler. Cutler is doing what Cutler always does. He's fine for the first half of the year, and then he stinks in the second half of the year. You know, I said a few years ago when the Jay Cutler-led Broncos blew a 4-game division lead with 4 games to go, that is a quarterback who will never win anything. And you could blame it on whatever you want, but a good quarterback does not allow his team to blow 4 games with 4 to go.
He's just not very tough.
He's not. He really isn't.
It's the diabetes.
All right, so NFC East, who gets it?
I'm going to say Redskins.
I want the Redskins to get it. I don't care. It's such a crap fest over there.
It really is. The RG3 injury right now worries me. I think the Giants are going to get it. NFC North, Green Bay is going to overtake it. And I think Chicago, they have a kind of an easier schedule, though. I think Chicago squeaks in.
Okay. You think so?
I think they do.
Huh.
Just based on the strength of schedule.
I'd be disappointed. You think they're going to get in over the Vikings?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have, what's the lead between?
They have a 1-game lead over the Vikings. But the Vikings do have to play the Rams.
Yeah, Vikings play the Rams. I say the Vikings win, and the Bears are going to lose against the Packers. So.
Oh, the Bears are definitely going to lose against the Packers. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah.
The NFC South is going to be Atlanta, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else goes through.
So, I mean, it's going to be the Niners in the NFC. And I think Seattle's just going to...
You think they pull it together?
I think everybody else loses that final wild card spot.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like, I don't see how Seattle's there. It's everybody else is just going to kind of lose, and Seattle's just not going to do anything to cost it for themselves.
Okay, so we have our, I guess, sort of list. We didn't really choose one from the East. We're just assuming the East is going to lose once they go through to the playoffs, right?
Pretty much.
Right? Or do the Giants pull it together again? Tom Coughlin yell at them or give them another poker chip to inspire
He's got to wait a couple more years. They haven't... That's the problem. See, they're best when nobody believes in them, but everybody's like, yeah, we suck, but we've been fooled by you before, so we still kind of believe it. So they've got to royally suck for a few years, so everyone goes, okay, yeah, they're bad again.
So who do you guys think goes through in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to say Green Bay.
I think Green Bay does it as well. It would sadden me because I think this is, you know... Again, one of the 49ers' big chances to go through, I just don't think they're going to manage to pull it together. As much as I love that defense, the defense it's shown some holes, and it hasn't risen to the challenge. Although, props to Aldon Smith. I think he's leading the league in sacks right now, isn't he? 19.5?
19.5.
What's the record?
I want to say 22.5.
Yeah, Strahan.
Okay, so he just needs 3 more.
Yeah, he needs one in each game.
Here's why I want Aldon Smith to get that. Because the fact that Strahan has that record is a freaking joke.
The Favre died.
Favre laid down. What a... Ooh. It goes against anything pure about athletics and competition that he would just fall down and give it to
him. Let me ask you this question. He fell down. We've all seen it. You know, he just goes down. Would you respect it more if he just stood there, like, you know, and took the hit?
I would have loved it more. No! It's an absolute joke.
I think I might respect it a little bit more if Favre at least sort of stands there and just takes it like a man, as opposed to going down and just having Strahan touch him.
I would respect it a little bit more, but then again, I have absolutely no respect for how it went down as it is. So, yes.
You know, it'd be. I wish we could have seen all of Strahan's sacks that year to know how many of them were like the, you know, just the touch on the ground, and you know how many of them were pounded in. Because everybody looks at the last one and they're like, "Oh, he doesn't deserve it." But I mean, it's a legitimate sack. I mean,
it's a legitimate sack. He deserves the record because he put up a monster year that year.
Should we start some sort of investigation as to whether or not there was collusion between Favre and Strahan? Strahan, like Strahan, paid him out some money. It's like, oh, I need to be known as a legend because I'm going to be on Live with Kelly Ripa one day.
It just taints that record, in my opinion.
Okay.
So
back to your question. NFC, who do you think goes through?
Green Bay. To me, right now, they're the best team in the league.
I'm going
to
say Seahawks.
Wow. Joey threw his voice away.
I'm trying to jinx, Pete. I'm trying to jinx. I have this power. I must use it.
And the AFC?
Broncos.
Dang, Patriots have been looking awesome.
If you ask me right now, gun to my head, I gotta say Patriots, even though I don't think they're that
good. I'd love it for Peyton Manning and the Broncos to go through and win out.
Yep.
Or for Andrew Luck and the Colts to go through and win out. I would love that. That's a storybook kind of ending to the year.
Sure.
It is. Yeah. It's awesome. You write movies about this kind of stuff.
Wouldn't it be great to see a Colts-Redskins Super Bowl?
So
two rookie QBs.
Okay, I want to talk about this, not just this rookie class, but the last 2 years of rookies in the NFL. Specifically the quarterbacks, but just in general, there has been a youth movement the last couple years. Last year there was Blaine Gabbert, who stinks, so we'll pretend he doesn't exist. Who was the number one pick last year?
Cam.
Scam Newton.
What in the world has gone on in Carolina?
People got tape on him. People have video on him.
Yeah, figured him out.
Christian Ponder, who I think is underrated, but still.
But underperforming.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Who is, nobody talks about him.
I think he's quietly rising up. I think he's doing well.
Yeah. Yes.
And how can you fail when you got a guy like AJ Green, man?
Yeah. I was telling Brandon, I watched the Thursday night game this week. It was the Bengals versus the Eagles. And I don't know if you ever watched Andy Dalton while he's at TCU when he was playing against the Utes. But he's always been a scrambling quarterback. He's a very, very strong scrambler. And he takes the snap and the defense just breaks down, leaves it wide open in front of him, 14 yards from the end zone. And so he runs in, and as he's running in, he does, you know, break the ankles of one of the defensive guys who's cutting, trying to come down, crash down and get him.
Wait,
and
literally?
No.
Oh.
Where, you know, they
would have been awesome.
He cut back sharper than the other guy could and goes in completely untouched for a touchdown. And one of the announcers says, "Boy, that looked like RG3 right there running that in." And so then they go on the post game show and they asked him, they said, "So did you hear that this announcer compared you to RG3? What do you think? Do you really think that you're in the same league as RG3?
Wow.
And Andy Dalton said, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it was along the lines of, you know, I was running that play when RG3 was still in high school. It was great.
So those are the quarterbacks from last year.
Well, let me just say this. I think that is probably the greatest draft that the Bengals could have ever made.
Yes.
Not just because of skill level, hair color.
The ginger
there is
ninja.
There is no hair color that matches their uniforms better than
Dalton's.
Just phenomenal. Wait, wasn't AJ Green a rookie last year too?
I'm getting there.
Okay. Yes.
Wait, there's also Jake Locker for Tennessee.
Yep.
Who should have always been starting over Matt Hasselbeck, but he had an injury this year. Non-quarterbacks, AJ Green,
mm-hmm.
Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Von Miller.
Yeah.
Wallace? Was Wallace, or was he the year before?
Which Wallace?
Pittsburgh.
No, Mike Wallace has
three years ago.
He's been a few years.
Sorry.
So there's been some great players there.
Yeah.
And I know there's more that I'm just blanking out on. But then throw in this year, especially the rookies, quarterbacks. Tannehill, who I thought for sure that guy was a bust.
Yeah.
Luck, RG3, don't need to talk about it. Well, we will, but we know what they've done. Russell Wilson, the third rounder. Brandon Whedon for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who...
Yeah, that's what
the guy's on a terrible team, but he's doing well. Yep,
he is.
Oh, Turbin. You forgot Turbin.
Turbo.
Wait, technically, Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick last year.
That's right.
Who's the Eagles guy? Foles. Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. Well, we got to see how he's going to do. Bobby Wagner.
Wait, Foles was this year, right?
He's a rookie. Okay,
yeah.
Bobby Wagner, the linebacker for Seattle, who has just been amazing.
Okay.
Starting linebacker is just... tearing it up.
Wait, Derek Wolf.
What was it? Alden Smith last year?
Yes. Alden Smith was a rookie last year. Yeah.
JPP was a rookie last year too, wasn't he?
There has just been, the last couple years in the drafts have been some great hits.
There were.
It's just amazing.
Martin this year for...
Doug Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, Doug Martin.
The guy that the Giants picked up instead of Doug Martin. I can't remember his name right now, but he's had a pretty good year.
It's floored me how many rookies and sophomores are making huge contributions.
Yeah.
And then the quarterbacks for those 2 years that have come in and, you know, it used to be, you know, I've always said that the problem, Alex Smith's biggest problem in his career was the fact that he went to a team that was expecting him to start right away.
Yeah.
And didn't get the Aaron Rodgers benefit of sit and learn. That's always been the standard of, quarterbacks need time to learn. The last couple of years, even Cam Newton, who I think is completely overrated, tore it up last year.
It's rare to be able to have someone come out and play that well at that level.
But yet, we're seeing a lot of it this year.
Cam Newton, just to defend him a little bit, because I'm in love with his athletic ability. I think he's overhyped. I do. But it seems like the coaching staff should be able to put together a better package for the guy to do well. If as you said, they just have tape on him and so they figured it out, have they not been able to scheme anything new for him? And so I'd put that on the coaching staff, which is going to get gutted next year, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Which hasn't been in place all that long.
It was a terrible hire to begin with, I think. But...
Are we going to talk coaches at some point, do you think?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Sorry. Sorry.
I want to talk about the rookie of the year.
Okay.
It's Luck or it's RG3, it's Luck, right? Can we at least agree it's Luck or it's RG3?
Agreed.
Who is it? I know who you're going to say.
No, you don't.
I don't think we're going to know this till the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
I think if RG3 stays, it can't play this game, and comes back and they only do okay... I think Luck manages to miraculously get them to the playoffs. It goes to Luck.
Let's take if the season ends today.
The season ends today, it goes to Griffin.
Or at least say that what they've done so far is what they do the rest of the year.
They're consistent for the next three weeks.
All things considered, I would go with Luck.
Okay.
I think Griffin would get it. I don't know. Here's the thing. When I knew Peyton was gone and there was going to be the big draft, I actually, even back then, I wasn't sure. I was like, oh boy, I don't know. I kind of like this Griffin guy. I think he looks exciting. He brings a different dimension to the Colts that they haven't really had. But I was worried about Luck. I was worried about how much hype and pressure and things were being put on him. But he really has come in and at least lived up to expectations. I mean, he's going to get him to 10 wins this year. I really think he is.
They're at 8 They're now?
9. They have oh, 9 yeah. wins. Okay. He only has to win one out of the next 3 games. Right. 2 of them against the Texans, which I think they win both of them. I think they're going to go in and...
We'll find out.
I think they're going to really expose the Texans.
We'll find out. So here's why I say it's RG3.
Okay.
Because you talked about all the hype and the expectations heaped on Luck. I'm of the opinion that while there was a lot of hype, there were no expectations for him.
Hmm.
The Colts were taking the state. They thought, okay, we've got our next Peyton Manning, and we expect it to go much like it did with Peyton Manning. We're okay with this year being a struggle. So there was like no pressure on him.
Okay.
RG3, however, had a ton of pressure on him because he's the Heisman Trophy winner. He's the flashy guy. the Skins gave up a lot to give him. He's going to the Redskins, which, even though they've been down, is still one of those organizations sure. in the NFL. They also have Daniel Snyder. There was just a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations heaped onto RG3. Performance-wise, I think they both... They're equal in performance.
Yes, they're phenomenal.
They're phenomenal. I just think that because Luck didn't have... He had the hype of being the number one pick, but it's always been 1A and 1B type of mentality with these two guys.
Yeah.
It's like...
They're easily... They're just, I think we can say they're easily top 10 quarterback of the league.
Yes.
This year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Easily.
Easily.
Potentially even top 5, although I think that would be a stretch.
Easily.
Really?
I do.
So, who are your top 5?
Let's get the obvious ones. Brady Manning.
Brady Manning. Green Bay's...
Aaron Rodgers.
I think it goes Manning, Brady, just so our listeners know.
What?
Nothing. I was just mumbling to our listeners. Said it should be Manning Brady. You guys said it in the wrong order.
No, I'm pretty sure I said it the right order right now.
Though they haven't been winning, I would give it to Drew Brees.
Yes.
I think he's a better quarterback.
Absolutely. Really?
Yep.
You
oh,
think,
yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Huh.
Drew Brees, I was about to say something terrible. I'm not. He got handed a crap pile, and he's not done that bad with it.
Except for this last game. But everyone's entitled to one bad game.
I still think when you put him up there, he is a better quarterback than
interesting
than Andrew.
I think Drew Brees is a good quarterback.
No,
I think he.
In fact,
the man man knows how to pick apart.
I would put Brees.
Okay,
he's right up there with Brady.
I put Brees in the Brady Manning discussion.
Yeah, I think I would any year but this year. With the options, just he hasn't done. I agree. He's in a bad spot. I mean, the whole Saints organization put themselves in a pretty terrible position. I just don't think he's done enough. He hasn't stepped up
Won a Super Bowl?
No. I'm saying this year in their time of trouble, where has Brees been? Where has been the voice of the leader of the team to step out and say, you know what, guys, we're going to go out and we're going to play hard anyway. We're going to be professional.
I think he's been there by the fact that they're still in, with everything going on, they're still in the playoff conversation.
I think technically,
they may not have a legitimate shot at it, but the fact that they're still there, the fact that even after starting 0-4, they ran off 4 more wins.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the NFL have we had an interim head coach.
I'm going off of general skill, and I just think that Drew Brees is better than those two. By the end of their careers, they may eclipse him.
Okay, if you're just going off of skill, I can see your point. I was also including in it the expectation that you're the leader of the team, you're out in front, Okay.
So that's my 4. I would put as a tie, as much as it pains me to say this, Eli Manning and the Falcons, Matt Ryan. I think that they are both really good quarterbacks. And then after them, I would probably do Andrew Luck and RG3.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, and probably about a tie.
Okay.
Because they make some freshman mistakes.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they're not there yet. Again, you know what? I'm going to boldly say, I think that Andrew Luck and RG3 can both outdo Eli Manning and Matt Ryan by the end
absolutely,
of their careers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So hindsight theater.
Oh, I didn't even think about Ben Roethlisberger. He's in there as well.
He's in the top 10.
That sucks to just get injured that much.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
So hindsight theater. Should the Rams have taken the pick or should they have taken RG3?
They should have done it. They should have pulled the trigger. At the time, I heard that they did it, I thought, what a boneheaded move.
Bradford is not a terrible quarterback, though.
You know what? I don't care if Bradford's a good quarterback. You have a chance at somebody who is going to be potentially an absolute star in the NFL.
Build a team around them.
I am in complete agreement with you, Pete. The Rams had so many problems. They still have so many problems.
So did the Redskins.
No, the Redskins, they had a decent defense. They had Santana Moss, and you knew that Mike Shanahan was going to pull some schmo out of the stands and make him a running back.
How does he do that?
The Rams needed more. They still need more.
They need somebody opposite Chris Long.
They take the three. Actually, Robert Quinn is actually doing really good against him. Actually has more sacks.
Does he? But Chris Long is just one of those players. He's always everywhere on the field right when the play is happening. It's like, where in the world is this guy coming from?
Chris Long doesn't get the sack numbers because he's blowing up the play, and they're like, oh, crap, we got to get away from him.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, hi, I'm his teammate, so I'm going to get his sack.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Long, I love Chris Long, the way he plays. I think the Rams made the right choice in trading away all those picks. Or in trading away and getting all those picks. It's not as clear an argument as it used to be.
Isn't that the way Bill Belichick builds his system?
It is.
Here's the thing. Who is it in the Rams organization that has the football mind that Bill Belichick does? As much as I dislike Bill Belichick.
Maybe he's coming up. Maybe he's
Fisher?
Up. I don't know. I don't know that it's Jeff Fisher. I don't. But I'm just saying there may be somebody else there who's helping to pull that. Because Bill Belichick didn't take the Patriots to number one, you know, his first year.
Yeah.
It took time.
No, you're right.
And that's the scheme that works is take time, get the picks, we'll build the team around it so that it's a balanced team.
And Les Snead, Kevin Dimoff, and Jeff Fisher, when they all got hired and all that got said flat out, we are going to emulate Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots.
I think it's an admirable goal. I don't think that the guys in St. Louis are up to the task.
Yeah, they may not have the football mind, but I don't know enough about the Rams. Brandon would have to.
They may not. I'm not arguing. I like Fisher more than you do.
Yes, you do. I think everyone likes Fisher.
I'm not sold on Bradford.
He's one of my least favorite coaches.
I'm not sold on Bradford. My biggest worry is that as well as he's doing this year, is going to be just enough to convince the Rams
to trust him for another season.
To trust him for another couple years. I'm not sold on him.
I'd say Bradford's better than Alex Smith, though. You can win games with Bradford.
You can. I'm not sold on Bradford.
Here's why the happiest thing
about this season to me is the fact that Daryl Richardson has done well enough that they may finally get rid of Steven Jackson next year.
Wow.
I do not like Steven Jackson.
You haven't liked him for a long time.
He beat us to death. Every time he got the ball, I was like, oh, please, dear Lord, someone trip him. he was phenomenal.
He gets one of those every few weeks, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
He is not consistent.
Same with Jamal Charles. He's kind of got the same problem.
He is not consistent. But here's
I hear Brandon Jacobs is available.
But here's why I want them to get rid of Steven Jackson. Sell while high.
Sure, yeah.
He's on the downside of his career now. Yeah. This season will have been enough that they can maybe coax a second, third rounder out of somebody.
The Emmitt Smith move.
Yes. Sell at a high point.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why I think this was a good chance for them to get rid of Bradford. Not necessarily sell while high, but you had a chance to actually do something. And instead, you just kind of said, we're going to stay the course with the team that we had last year.
What else do they have? Like, who is RG3 going to start throwing to on the Rams?
Danny Amendola.
Yeah, the guy with the broken collarbone.
And that's my issue.
The man's a beast. I love him. I was so happy when he wasn't playing because that meant we might have a chance.
Well, considering he beat you guys with that 80-yard touchdown at the start of overtime but got called back. I love Amendola. He's my favorite player on the team. He's a slot receiver who's our number one guy. The guy's a beast. He takes the hits. He'll do whatever he needs to. But he's not
I don't think there's enough there for RG3 to throw to.
And that's why I think that they had to make the trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they did right in what they chose.
So back to the draft, since we were talking about it, you brought up an interesting conversation of best value in the draft this season.
Yeah.
So you start since it was your conversation.
Okay. So what I said was let's look past the second round, outside the second round, who has performed the best for the order in which they were picked. And some names that I pulled up because I know Pete probably can't do this off the top of his head. So here are some of the guys.
Picks.
What's that?
I said I know the first two picks.
Here are some of the guys that I looked at for this. Vic Ballard, who's the Colts running back, who stepped up. He was picked in the fifth round, 170th pick overall.
Greg the Leg Zuerlein.
Yeah, Greg Zuerlein, right?
Sixth pick. I would break his legs so bad.
Russell Wilson went in the third round. Mm-hmm. That's pretty deep for how well he's performed. You have Miles Burris, who's done a pretty good job at done a pretty good job taking over the running back position for the Raiders. I'm sorry, linebacker position. Justin Tucker, who's also a kicker. Yeah, it's three kickers. You have Greg the Leg, Justin Tucker, and Blair Walsh. Rookie kickers.
I like Legatron better.
Yeah, I definitely like Legatron.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one.
Legatron is my favorite nickname for him.
And Chris Givens, I thought, should be in the conversation. He's a wide receiver for the Rams. The guy has 559 yards, 3 touchdowns, with Bradford being the guy throwing the ball.
Okay. Of that list, I'm going to say the best one on that list is Legatron because he has actually won games for the Rams. But here's why I cannot pick any of those kickers. I am a firm believer you do not waste a draft pick on a kicker.
You go get him in the undrafted.
Once in a great blue moon, you get a guy like Zuerlein. Most of the time...
Who was it that used the first round pick on their punter?
Raiders. Oh, not on their punter. They did it on Sebastian Janikowski.
No. This last draft, somebody
it wasn't a first
blew
rounder,
first
it was like a second
pick.
Or third rounder.
Okay.
But I'm of the belief you do not waste a pick on a punter or a kicker because the guy you get off of as the undrafted free agent is just as good as the guy you're going to pick most of the time. I think Legatron has been that rare exception.
Okay.
But I still I don't like using a draft pick on him.
Well, I put Vic Ballard in there because I think, in my opinion, that's who this award goes to this year. For being in the fifth round, he has won 3 games for the Colts, in my opinion. Just in his ability to be open, his ability to go in and get... I mean, I don't know if you guys saw his first career touchdown where he was flipped over upside down, stretching out over the top of his head. Like, as he dove for the sideline, he got hit from the side, and he was spinning in the air,
held onto
the ball. I mean, it was a great, great effort to get in there and win that game.
Cinematically looked brilliant.
Yeah, it was great. So I think Ballard, for me, gets this vote.
Okay, I give you 3 names, that, including the guy I will give it to.
Okay.
The first one is someone else you will recognize. I just want to pull up his stats real quick. But it's T.Y. Hilton.
Okay, he was in the second round.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I thought he was. When I looked at it, because I...
Maybe he was. I'll check to make sure.
I had him in my list, and then I looked, and I thought I could have sworn he went in the second round.
92nd overall. Which would have been...
Third round. Okay. All right.
So, 92nd overall. He's been a nice little compliment to Reggie Wayne. The next guy is Daryl Richardson for the Rams, who I've already said is hopefully going to... allow us to sell high on my least favorite Ram, Steven Jackson. And he was drafted number 252, round 7.
Yeah, that's...
Now, he doesn't have great numbers. They've kind of tailed off because they've stopped using him. But he's still got like 400 or 500 yards for a 7th round pick is amazing.
Sure, yeah.
And then the guy who I think gets it, and I know what the argument against him is going to be RG3. But Alfred Morris.
Okay.
Round 6, pick 173.
Sure, yeah.
Already over 1,000 yards on the year.
No, I see that. I think that's a good choice.
Wow, serious?
Yes.
I haven't even heard of the guy.
He's
the running back for the Washington Redskins.
Okay, yeah.
And I get the argument, they're worried about...
They're covering
RG3. The other argument is Shannon Smith pulls some schmo off of the stands and can put him into running back, and they go off. But he has been the running back on that team.
Yeah, you're right.
He's been the guy that they've used to help take pressure off of RG3. And he's done a fantastic job at it.
It's impressive to have a running back get 1,000 yards in a league where you throw the ball.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just impressive.
In fact, I say Morris has actually had a better year than Martin. And Martin was drafted in either the first or the second round.
Yes.
And Morris was drafted in the 6th. That's actually a pretty compelling argument.
Hmm.
So that's, I mean, that's kind of how I felt about the rookie class the last couple of years. I think it's an amazing rookie class, just top to bottom. It makes me excited about the next few years in the NFL. Coaches. you mentioned you wanted to talk about them.
Yeah. I think coach of the year, and I say this half serious, half joking, has got to go to Peyton Manning. Because honest to goodness, I don't believe that the who is the coach?
John Fox.
John Fox.
Do you remember earlier when I said Jeff Fisher is one of my two least favorite coaches in the NFL? The other one's John Fox. And I'm like miserable. You got John Fox and Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio coaching the defense. Two guys I hate, and they're my coaches.
What Peyton Manning has done for the Broncos, when they show the film of him over there on the sideline, he's got an entire group of people around him.
Yes, he's got the entire starting offense.
And he's coaching them.
Yeah.
On the field, he is coaching them. He is a phenomenal person. There is no one better that I would want to be on a field with than him. Because he's done the time in the film room to learn about everybody else he's going to be facing and what they're going to be doing. And he's been with you long enough to know exactly what you're going to be doing.
Or should have been
or
doing.
Or should be doing.
I'm going to say this, that right now, I think I'm going to tell you who is Peyton Manning's biggest fan right now and who is going to be his least favorite fan in about 2 years.
Elway.
No.
Oh.
Best fan right now, Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos.
All right.
The least favorite fan of Peyton Manning is going to be the GM in Carolina who's going to get fired because he backed the truck up to McCoy in this offseason, and McCoy is going to bomb his head coach.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Anybody who believes that the offensive coordinator is doing a great job there is an idiot.
McCoy is going to get the truck backed up to him for two reasons. Because he gets a lot of publicity for tailoring the offense to Tebow last year.
Yep.
And then with tailoring it again to Peyton Manning.
All right. So let's talk about real coaches for now.
Okay. You, I know who your bet.
No, I just put it out there because that's what's in the media right now. Yes.
And here's why I say no. I think Bruce Arians has done an amazing job. But kind of for the same reason I don't give Luck Rookie of the Year.
Uh-huh.
Even more so, it's going to be kind of weird, but I don't know that it's necessarily Arians, but I think it's the whole Chuck Pagano. Just everything is kind of propelling that team forward that I think almost anyone could have come into that situation with no pressure, the whole Chuck Strong thing, and been able to keep them going with Luck. I kind of think it's more Luck than it is Bruce Arians.
It's impressive, but I don't see anything about the coaching that has really done that much for them.
I put it out there because that's what the press seems to have already... I think they've already given it to the Pagano-Arians kind of combo there.
See, I think
that's an emotional play.
That's an emotional play. Sure. I think when it comes down to it, it's going to go to either Mike Smith or... Why am I blanking on his name in Houston?
Oh, Kubiak.
Kubiak. It's going to go to the guy with the best record. It always does. Especially if they come out of nowhere.
I think you
strongly can make a play for Bill Belichick.
I would agree.
Who won it last year? Was it Harbaugh? Jim Harbaugh? Who won it last year?
I think it was.
Yeah. For the
49ers. It was either Harbaugh or Schwartz.
Couldn't have been Schwartz.
No, it was.
He got pushed aside by Harbaugh, literally.
We're going to talk about that too. That game specifically.
I don't know. I think Pete Carroll needs to be in that conversation. As much as I think he's a sleazeball.
No.
I think
you know what my choice.
He's a glorified college coach.
My choice, and he won't get it, is Greg Schiano in Tampa Bay.
Really?
Because I think he has milked way more out of that roster than is deserved.
I hate that man.
Why?
He's dirty.
No, he's not. How is he dirty?
Charging the victory.
It's not a dirty play.
I think it's unsportsmanlike.
It is not a dirty play. Not at all.
If I were the ref on the field, I would throw the flag.
Not at all.
Wait, for what?
Because
charging the victory formation?
No. No, not at all.
No, baloney. That pisses me off so freaking much. When what's-his-bucket from the Giants came out there and started going after him, I was like, you know what?
No. Good for Schiano.
If the game was over, then there wouldn't be any time left on the clock.
It pisses me off that teams
forfeit wins automatically.
Yeah,
there is so much that can happen in that quarterback exchange. No, yes. I absolutely go for it, Shiano, 100%.
Yeah, I'm with him. I don't think he's coach of the year, but I that pissed me off.
I think it's going for an injury. I think that's really what he wants. He
then
wants an injury
your
there.
Players.
An injury.
Why are they wearing pads? Why don't they just all take off their pads and their helmets when they go down in that? Because, it doesn't really matter. It's not a real play. Baloney!
There was a legit chance. If he fumbles, picks it up, there was still time on the clock. He could have run it in. A lot could have happened. Why should you just automatically give up on it? No. Yes, an injury could happen.
It's called being a good sport.
A good sport is teaching your team to win the freaking game. To quote Herm Edwards, why do we play the game? We play to win the game. You do not play to give up at any point in the game.
But they've gone back and ESPN went back and did the numbers that has charging the victory formation has never once resulted in a fumble.
It's because it's never done.
It's been done. He did it at Rutgers.
It's not done enough to have a legitimate sample size.
If you're worried about your quarterback, take him into shotgun formation.
I'm not worried about the quarterback. Here's what I'm worried about. You do it with no one knowing you're going to do it. And it's a league full of people who for 100 years have used the victory formation the way it was used. And you go in unexpectedly and do that. I think that makes it dirty.
No.
Then I think you have bred a group of players who don't know how to play through the end of the game.
Exactly. I agree completely. So, who are your guys' pick for Coach of the Year, then? I mean, it's tough.
I would give it to Belichick. I mean, he's clearly, quietly led that team, and they haven't exactly had an easy go of it. They've lost some players who have through injury, and they're putting up phenomenal numbers. And they're not playing, you know, teams that are, pansy teams. A little
powder puff
teams.
How about this for a name? Especially if they do like you guys, like Joey thinks they're going to do, but what about Marvin Lewis?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, but I don't think Marvin Lewis is an excellent leader of men. I don't know why, but every time I look at him on the sidelines, I just feel like, boy, there's a guy who just rolled out of bed and showed up to work this morning. He just doesn't seem to actually motivate his team. If they win, it's because the team decided to win, not because the coach was saying, hey, guys, let's go out and win this. We can do this.
I don't see excellence out of him. And that's what I look for when there should be a coach. Last year, Jim Harbaugh was excellent.
Yeah.
I think Belichick this year is excellent.
I can see that.
He's bringing out an awesome team. Joey, you think Bruce Arians?
No, I don't.
Who did you give it to then? Sorry. No, I thought you had already said it.
No, what I said was I think Pete Carroll needs to be in the conversation, even though I think he's a jerk and kind of a cheater. You know, as a college coach, he was certainly doing things he shouldn't have been doing.
Okay, that's all we're gonna say about him, because I don't really care about him.
Okay,
I'm on that bandwagon.
Man, it's tough. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say Kubiak.
Okay,
he's managed to get those guys. I mean,
they're winning.
If they win a playoff game, Kubiak. I'll put it that way. Okay. Because they have been for, 10 years. Yeah, this should be our year. We're good enough. We should be winning these games. And he finally has managed to turn them into a winning team.
Okay. I want to talk... I talked earlier about not feeling bad for Louisiana Tech and not going to a bowl game. I want to talk about a stupid rule, but one I don't feel bad that it got called into play, and that is Jim Schwartz getting a touchdown scored against him because he's a freaking moron.
Yep,
because he didn't know the rules.
Oh, he does know the rule. That's the funny thing about it.
Yep,
so true. The rule is in the NFL, if you cannot challenge a score.
You can't throw your challenge flag because every scoring play is reviewed by rule. Everyone.
This year they added in that if you do throw the challenge flag, the impending review is negated.
Right.
So a couple weeks was the Thanksgiving game against Houston.
Yes. Yep.
Houston scores on a play that would have obviously come back. He throws his flag. The ref says you can't do that. score stands.
Yeah, by rule, you then cannot review it.
Right.
Yeah.
The review is negated. They score, it ends up going into overtime, Houston wins the game.
I just thought of a brilliant idea.
Okay.
Bill Belichick is going to be the first coach to do this. Go ahead.
Okay, I think we're going to... Go ahead, go for it.
I'm afraid to say anything right now.
Now this replay rule is also in place for turnovers.
Right.
So here's what I'm thinking. If I'm the team that just scored, and
throw
the challenge flag, yes. Right? Because like, wait, what? You can't do that.
Yep.
Fine, we're not going to review this play.
Yep.
We'll show you. Oh, touchdown!
Touchdown! Bill Belichick would be the first coach to do this.
Stupid rule, because somebody, and it probably will be Bill Belichick, in a playoff game, in a very questionable situation, is going to go whoop. Use the rule to your advantage.
Yep.
Absolutely. But here's why I do not feel bad that Jim Schwartz and the Lions got screwed on that play. First and foremost, it happened the week earlier with Atlanta. Mike Smith challenged a play he shouldn't have been,
negated
a review, got the penalty. Even more so, in the Harbaugh-Schwartz game the year before,
yep.
We know about the handshake. We know that Schwartz is a total douchebag.
Jerk.
Early in that game, Jim Harbaugh challenged a score. And while the ref was taking the flag over to him, and this rule wasn't in place, though, but while the ref was taking the flag over to him and telling him, hey, you can't do that, Jim Schwartz was on the other side of the sideline screaming at him, learn the rules, you moron. You can't do that. He knew the rule.
Yeah.
He is just an idiot, and I don't feel bad whatsoever that he cost his team that game.
It doesn't surprise me that with a coach like Jim Schwartz that the Lions have had the off-season trouble that they have.
Yeah.
When you don't have someone who is at the head of your your organization have...
Class?
I was going to say even temper. you cannot expect to have a team that's going to act that way. And you know what? I don't want to talk about Ndamukong Suh and what happens with him out on the field and all of the excuses the man likes to use. I don't think that happens when you have someone who's who coaches better.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree completely. I said it before the beginning of the season that I expected Detroit to have a bad year simply because of who was leading them had no control over that team. And that's exactly what's happened. The only thing I'll say about Ndamukong Suh is it's too bad he is the way he is because he's getting way more press than he deserves for somebody of his production. He has been a complete disappointment.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. He's been sort of like... oh, crap. Who's the guy that was with the Texans and was like...
Cushing?
Mario Williams?
No, he's a big down lineman.
It's not Mario Williams?
Tennessee Titans or Texans? It happened like 3 years ago.
Oh,
are you talking about Albert Haynesworth?
Yes.
Haynesworth. Oh,
the man
okay.
who 1 year put up some phenomenal... He did some amazing things, but... is just a bad seed.
Yes.
And so no matter where he went to after that, and he even managed to go to the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots are like, no, see ya. Yeah. We don't want your mess.
I absolutely agree. So I loved watching the Lions and Schwartz because I think Schwartz, ever since that handshake incident, I've just absolutely disliked the guy because I thought he was totally classless. I love that Harbaugh was fired up. And excited about that victory. He should have been.
Yeah, I saw a great...
Schwartz to act that way was just totally classless, and it's showing up in that team.
Somebody sent me a one of those kind of the photo, where they put the text on the bottom kind of thing. It's the shot from behind Mufasa and Simba looking out, and the sun's coming up over the mountains, and Simba's little speech bubble says, Dad, what's a Super Bowl? And Mufasa says, I don't know, son. We're Lions.
So, all right. Well, that's where we stand right now in the NFL season. We have a few weeks left to go. I'm excited for the playoff push.
Yeah.
Always. Always excited for the playoffs.
Not always. I couldn't have cared less last year.
Oh, I always am.
You know what? I'm going to put a plug out there, not because ESPN needs any help, but their series of A Football Life.
No, NFL Films.
Is it NFL Films?
Yes.
It's shown on ESPN or no, NFL
Network. It's shown
on
NFL Network.
NFL Network,
yeah.
Thank you. is fantastic. I love watching those things. I watched the one they did this week for Marcus Allen.
Oh, did they? Oh, I didn't know that one.
They covered
out.
Marcus Allen. Yeah. That man is fantastic. I have tons of respect for him.
Yeah.
I didn't before because he was always on the Raiders. You know, so he wasn't exactly someone I cheered for. But he is an amazing player. And same with Bill Belichick. When I saw the football live on him, I was blown away.
Hmm.
That man, as much as he may or may not have cheated, probably cheated, earlier, you know, a few years ago, that man really prepares and has his stuff together.
He lives and breathes the game.
That is the epitome of an awesome coach. Right up there with, you know, with a Bill Walsh.
That's why he makes me so angry, though, because he is so good at it.
Anyway, that's...
The Barry Sanders one was also quite good. I don't know if you caught that
one. Yeah, I did. I did catch that one. That was quite good.
I'll have to check them out. I haven't watched any of them, but I'll
really?
Check them out. I haven't.
You are missing out.
Check them out.
I think you could even catch some of the... Because they started it last year.
Yeah, but they only did one.
Second season.
They only did one last year.
Only one?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure they only did one last... Because they did it initially like it was going to be a one-shot thing, and it was so successful that this year they've done five or six.
Yeah, we'll have to check on that. I'll have to check that out.
But so yeah, we're coming down to the end stretch. I'm excited for it. I think this battle between RG3 and Luck makes me excited for not just the rest of this year, but years to come. I think it's going to be amazing to watch those guys. And you know, the great thing about the NFL is I love that every year you go into it, you feel like your team has a chance, unless you're Cleveland.
or Philadelphia. I hope Megatron fails. He's going up for Jerry Rice's record. Most yards received.
It'll be close.
He's on pace. He like 105 yards a game. That's all he's got to do. He can do it.
He could, yeah. 105. You know what? Speaking of records real quick, Adrian Peterson's about to go after 2,000.
Yep.
He's got an outside shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say to me...
116 yards a game is what he needs to average.
And this past year we had... Johnny Hughes, was it 41 or 49 consecutive games with a touchdown pass?
I thought it was 45.
45. I can't remember what it is. But
Drew
Brees broke it. But Tom Brady has either already broken it as well.
Yeah, he has.
Unitas' number. He's obviously still got to catch up to Brees.
Which he can do.
If Brees would ever stop throwing touchdowns.
No, he did.
Did he?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep. I think it was the game against the Falcons.
Interesting. I did not realize that.
Yep. I think the number is at the low 50s right now, or it's only at like 49.
And Brady will have a shot at it.
Yeah,
but can I say that I think my favorite record, and not just because it's held by a Ram, but one that I think is one of the toughest to break, but it never gets any pub, is Eric Dickerson's 2105 in a single season.
Mm. Yeah.
So. You guys want to do this again in a little while? College football is over, but we've got the Super Bowl coming up.
You bet.
And then after the Super Bowl, because football is not a seasonal thing, it's a 365.
Yeah, we could do a
We've got the draft. We've got draft. Camps. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't pay that much attention to the camps, but
we can
drafts
disinvite
I've
him.
Been paying a little bit more attention to.
Well, you got the drafts, and you know, camps really just means start previewing and making wild predictions for the next season.
Can we start talking about the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Playoffs?
We can start talking about the playoffs.
They've already won. Congratulations.
All right, Pete. So who is your playoff pick, your Super Bowl pick for next year? Since let's beat it off. I think
Aaron Rodgers.
I think Cleveland is I think they're pretty much eliminated from next year's playoffs as it is.
And the Eagles. The Eagles are out.
Yeah, probably. They're gonna be rebuilding for a while. Did we talk about Andy Reid and where he's going to be shipped off to? Do we think...
Brandon thinks he's going to end up at BYU.
Let's save that for the end. Like, we'll have a special segment on what coaches are getting fired.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's do that then. What coaches are getting fired? Because we're right there.
I'll save it for the end. For the end of the season. When we're into even playoffs.
Oh, so yeah. You mean
for future podcasts.
I'm all good for that. Yeah, there's a lot of this we can talk about then.
Yeah,
so
let's save something. We've been going for like probably a solid hour and a half.
So, all right. Well, I mean, that's all I've really got. It's, college is over. Pro is heating up. I love the game of football, so I'm glad that we can talk about it forever and ever. There is no off season. And thank you guys for joining me.